We are continuing to look at verses that are supposed to help us change our lives. So hopefully, as we look at these passages, as we study these passages, we'll practice these things. I know it's easier. I won't say it's easy, because there are a lot of things that happen in our lives that get us off track in so many ways. But it's easier to read, even study, learn what the Bible says, than it is to actually do what the Bible says, isn't it? It's always been that way throughout the ages. There were many people who knew what the Bible said, could even quote the Scriptures, but they didn't do it. We saw a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 4 that even the devil could quote the Scripture. He knew what it said, but that still didn't help him to live a life that was pleasing to God, did it? So just knowing the Scripture is not enough. We have to live according to that knowledge. We have to practice those things. This morning we want to look at something that is probably one of the biggest struggles that many Christians have, as far as I've seen. Now, I know we all have different struggles, but this one seems to be just about universal. I haven't met many people who don't struggle with this passage of Scripture. Not of reading it, knowing what it says, or even knowing what it means and understanding it, but with actually living by it day to day. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 through 34, and we'll read that whole section and we'll focus in on just a little portion of it, but we want to read it all together. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It said that no one is ever overwhelmed by the day's events. They're overwhelmed when they add tomorrow's worries to today's events. Or when they are still living in regret and worry over the days gone by and add those to today's events. I know some amazing and some shocking and some troubling and disturbing things happen to people. But if we'll take one day at a time, we can make it through that one day. So we look at these things that Jesus says, and we think about how we live our own lives. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit, you know, I spend more time than I ought to thinking about those things that Jesus told me not to worry about. In fact, in the King James Version, He doesn't use the word worry. It actually says, take no thought. Now, I don't know that that's a very good literal translation, because I don't think Jesus wants us to just not think about anything. We don't want to be thoughtless people going through life. But when he says take no thought, and the idea of it at that time was, now don't put too much thought into this. Don't spend a lot of time thinking about things that you have no control over. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You know, it is sad, isn't it? I know that animals don't have the capacity to worry. But it's interesting that, you know, they don't worry about those things. And they don't even realize that they have a God, a Father in heaven, a Creator that made them and that is providing those things for them, as Jesus described it. But they don't worry about it. And here we are, we know God's up there, we know what He's promised, we know He said that He'll provide us with these things. And yet we're the ones who spend all the time worrying about it. There was a widow who had successfully raised a very large family. She was being interviewed by a reporter. In addition to her own 6 children, she had adopted 12 other youngsters. And through it all, she had maintained stability and an air of confidence. And when asked the secret of her outstanding accomplishment, her answer to the newsman was quite surprising. She said, I manage so well because I'm in a partnership. What do you mean? He inquired. The woman replied, Many years ago I said, Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. And I haven't had an anxious care since. And we could all profit by following that example. Let the Lord do the worrying. I recall one story was told of a parent concerned about a child. Got to be bedtime and they were still concerned about it. And they said, you know, here's what I'll do. They prayed about it. And in their prayer they said, Lord, since you're going to be up anyway, won't you watch out for them and let me get some sleep? Now, so many times we spend so much of our lives fretting and anxious and thinking and going over every possible scenario of every possible way that things could be, of things that we have no control over whatsoever. And if we would actually spend that time doing something useful, how much better off would we be? You know, worry is having mental pictures. And you know, our minds work in pictures. Even though I'm speaking words, as I speak these words, you have images in your mind of what we're talking about. When I talked about things we worry about, the first thing you thought of was probably something you've been worrying about. But that's what worry puts these mental pictures of the things we don't want to have happen into our minds. And it causes us problems. It causes us difficulties. And it causes us to be negative and depressed and all sorts of other things that happen. You know, I think about the serenity prayer, as it's sometimes referred to. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Do we think about that? What does that tell us? Really, there's only 2 things in this world that we shouldn't worry about. The things that we can change, and the things that we can't change. Those are the only 2 things that we shouldn't worry about. So if we'll just stop worrying about those 2 things, then what? Well, the things that we can change, we need to change them. If they need to be changed and we can change them, then change them. Don't sit around worrying about it, just do it. And if there's something that we can't change, why then why do we sit around worrying about that? We can't change it anyway. Go on with your life. Change the things you can. The problem is, the things we can change, we worry about how we could change those things, and we're not doing it. And the things that we can't change, we sit there worrying about them instead of changing the things that we could change. We've got to work on that. Well, what are the causes of worry? There are a lot of causes. There are a lot of root causes that break up then into a whole lot of littler things that cause the problem. But there are a few roots that we want to consider. Pride and a lack of faith. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." I know we don't want to admit it, but sometimes the reason we're worrying is because we've exalted ourselves to the position of God. We're not in control of this world. If we were, you know, God doesn't worry because He's in control. The problem is, we put ourselves where we are concerned about all of the things that God's in control of as though we're in control of them, and yet we're not in control. And so there's nothing we can do. That puts us in a horrible spot where we feel responsible for a lot of things in the world that we're not responsible for. I think Al and I were talking before worship this morning. I said, "Well, I think there's a hurricane coming." I said, "Well, yeah, I guess we'll have to watch it and see where it goes. We don't know where it's going to go," he said. I said, "No, we don't know where it's going." He said, "We can't stop it, can we?" I said, "No, we can't shut it." He said, "We can't shut it down." "No, we can't. We can't stop that thing. That's beyond our control." Now, if it were to come this way, we're going to sit here worrying and fretting for a week before it gets here? No. We're just going to, you know, we check the weather every day, and, you know, it's not going to get here right now. It's not going to get here tonight. You know, it's not going to get here tomorrow. If it comes this way, it's going to be the end of the week before it gets here. So we just, you know, we'll keep see which way they're tracking it, which way it looks like it's going. And if it gets close enough that it's going to cause a problem, then what are we going to do? We're going to sit worrying, "Oh no, hurricane might come." No, then you prepare. You get up and do what you can do. You know, you get you a few bottles of water, and you get you yourself some canned food, and you make sure you got batteries for your flashlight and all those kind of things, that, you know, so you'll be prepared if it comes and if it's bad and if it knocks out the power or whatever. And you prepare. You don't sit around worrying about it. But it's sad how often we sit around worrying about things that we have no power over. And then in connection with that pride of putting ourselves in God's position, really, there's also the lack of faith. Lack of trust in Him. He cares for you. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God... I know we can't see Him. And we talk to Him, but we don't hear Him talk back. And so sometimes we really kind of feel like, "Well, I wonder if He's really up there. I wonder if He really cares what's going on in my life." Peter says, He cares for you. And if He's caring for us, then what do we have to worry about? You know, I dare say that Julia, and I know for sure that the twins, they don't spend a minute of their day hardly worrying about where their next meal's coming from, or whether they're going to have clothes to wear tomorrow, or what they're going to have something to drink, you know, anything like that. Because if they get hungry, they just come ask Mom and Daddy, don't they? And now the babies ask by going, "Wah! Wah!" That's how they ask. "I'm hungry." But they don't worry about those things. You know, Jesus said that we've got to become like little children. I think that's one of the ways we need to become like little children. We need to have the kind of trust in our Heavenly Father that those little children have in their parents. And the thing about it is, in the case of those children and their parents, sometimes it's misplaced trust, because sometimes those parents can't provide the needs for their children. But you know, God always can. There's never been a time in the history of this world that God could not provide for the needs of His children. And He always has. And so, sometimes our lack of faith and trust in Him causes us to worry. Sometimes the focus on the past may cause us to worry. We look at all the bad things that happened in the past, and we worry that it may happen to us in the future. Because, well, it happened back... Well, maybe it did. And honestly, maybe it will. You know, there was a time when Christians were persecuted. There was a time when there were famines and people starved. There was a time when even God's people were put to death. Yes, there was. Might that happen again? Yes, it might. Will it do us any good to sit around worrying about it because it happened once before and it might happen again? Won't do us a bit of good. All it'll do is waste our time today worrying about that thing that might happen in the future. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on." We've got to keep moving toward the future. Looking back at the past and focusing on it will not get us where we need to go. And then sometimes the focus too much on the future. Now I know we're moving toward the future, but we don't know that there will be a tomorrow. We have to live today to the fullest because this may be the last day we get. We spend all our time in the future, we'll never live today. And then when the future gets here, we won't be ready for it because we didn't live today. Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Focus on the future can cause us to worry. Too much human reasoning. You know, God does things that, to the human being, don't seem reasonable. That doesn't make sense to us. Why should it be that way? We reason too much with our human reasoning and not enough with God's wisdom from the Scriptures. We're going to worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. Well, what are the results of worry? Well, they're vast, and we certainly can't deal with all of them this morning, but we want to mention a few things. Worry brings depression. It causes us to be fretful and anxious, and we have problems as a result of that. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." So worry can cause us to get to the point where we don't even want to get out of bed. I know the writer of Proverbs says it about the lazy man, but sometimes the worry wart does the same thing. There's a lion in the streets. I'll be slain in the streets if I go out there. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning, that we could become so worried about all the things that could happen to us that we get to the point where we just can't even live life. We can't get out of bed because we heard somewhere somebody got out of bed and stepped on a snake and it bit them and they died. So we're not even going to get out of bed. We can't brush our teeth because we heard somebody swallowed too much of that fluoride toothpaste and it killed them. And we can't, and we just, everything, well, I'm just worried about it constantly. And we become worry wards. And it depresses us to the point that we can't enjoy anything about life for worrying about the bad thing. Worry keeps us unfruitful. Matthew 13:22 says, "He that received the seed among the thorns," this is Jesus describing to the disciples the parable of the sower that He had told them. The one where the seed fell among the thorns, that's the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world, you can translate that cares, the worries, the concerns, the anxiousness about this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. See, when we worry too much about this life, what am I going to eat next? How am I going to pay the light bill? How am I going to make this? How am I going to make that payment? How am I going to do this? How am I going to... Will I ever... How am I ever going to retire? and what's going to happen when I get sick, and will I be able to afford my medicine, and what will happen if this president gets elected, or that president gets elected, or this, and you know what? God is in control. Now, I'm not saying don't get out and vote. I'm not even saying don't tell your friends and relatives, you know, help them pick the right person for the job. But don't worry about it. God's in control. Whoever gets elected, God's still in heaven on the throne. That won't change. Sometimes I think we forget that. We get so wrapped up in the things of this world, the cares and concerns and the worries. Worry is physically unhealthy. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says by worry, you can't add a cubit to your stature. You know, you can't do a bit of good for yourself by worrying, but you know what you can do? You can get yourself some ulcers. You can cause yourself some heart problems. You can make yourself sick. So you can't do anything good for yourself by worrying, but you sure can do some bad things for yourself physically. Stress-related health problems are a huge expense in the United States today. We have some health problems that the third world countries don't have because of stress, because of worry. Yes, worry is physically unhealthy. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And we've all known people who worried themselves sick. I did it when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. When I was in school, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I loved PE, physical education class. Oh, that was great. I loved that. Except for 1 9-week period in the year when we had to take swimming classes. I couldn't swim. And I hated swimming. I was scared to get my head under the water and all those things as a boy. I still don't like it a whole lot, but I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I can dog paddle now. But I had to go in that swimming class, and I would get so worried that I was going to drown. Now, you know, there was the instructor was right there. The instructor, he was standing right there, but I believed he'd let me drown. I really believed that. I begged my mom. My mom couldn't swim. She still can't swim. She couldn't have swam. But I wanted her to come and be there when I was having swimming class because I knew she wouldn't let him let me drown. She'd make him come in and get me. And I would worry myself so sick that a lot of times before PE class, I would go in the bathroom and throw up. I was so worried about that swimming class. Now I look back at that now and I think, as an adult, knowing what responsibilities a teacher has, that man would have never let me drown. He'd have been in big trouble if he'd ever let that happen. But I didn't know that then. And I didn't believe it. I thought, you know, it's an amazing thing, though, what happened. That teacher quit, and the next year we got a different teacher for swimming class. And one of the boys that couldn't swim very well, kind of like me, was having some trouble. He was out in the deep end of the pool. He had jumped off the diving board, and he was having trouble. He couldn't get to the side. And you know what that teacher did? He jumped in the water and went out there and got him and drug him to the side. And you know, after that event, I didn't worry anymore. I wasn't scared anymore. Because suddenly, what had happened? I had some trust. I had some faith that he'll come get me if I have a problem. I didn't believe that other guy would. Sometimes we don't have that kind of trust in God. We don't believe he'll come get us. We believe he'll let us drown in the problems of this world. And so we worry about it, and we worry ourselves sick about it. That's one of the reasons that it's so good to go back and study the Old Testament, because we see time and time again how God was able to get the righteous out of trouble. Now also, we do see sometimes where some bad things still happen to them physically. But again, remember, we're not to be so focused on this life. If we die in this life, that's okay as long as we're ready for eternal life. The sad thing is when those who don't trust in the Lord and think they can live their own life and they've got it all figured out, and then they die. Jesus told a story about a man like that too, didn't he? Remember that rich fool? He said, take it easy. See, he'd been worrying about the future, but he had a good crop and he laid up a lot and he had money in the bank. Well, I know they didn't have a bank, you know, but he had stored up. He said, you got much goods, last you for years, take it easy now, you can relax. You don't have to worry anymore. What did God say to him? You're a fool. Because you've been rich toward yourself, but you haven't been rich toward God. He was trusting in himself to provide for his needs instead of trusting God. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to have a retirement account or store up money for, you know, for needs down the road. It doesn't mean we have to just be spendthrifts. That's not what we're saying. But the question has to come, am I trusting my 401k or my IRAs? Or am I trusting Social Security and the U.S. government? Or am I trusting God? See, because a lot of times I'm afraid that we're trusting the government or we're trusting our own investments to protect us and take care of us instead of trusting God. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that it's wrong to have wealth, only that it's wrong to trust in that wealth. We need to beware of our attitude. We need to be careful what we're worrying about. It will be physically unhealthy to worry about those things. Those are the results. What about the treatment for worry? How are we going to treat it? Prayer will help dispel anxiety. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Worry? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. It gives you indigestion and wakeful hours at night and fills with gloom the days and weeks, however fair and bright. It puts a frown upon the face and sharpness in the tone. We're unfit to live with others and unfit to live alone. Worry? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? Prayer really changes things, arranges life anew. It's good for your digestion, gives peaceful sleep at night, and fills the grayest days with rays of golden glowing light. It puts a smile upon your face, a love note in your tone. It makes you fit to live with others and fit to live alone. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? It brings God down from heaven to live and work with you. Prayer is much more powerful than worry. We need to take comfort in God and in His Word. Psalm 94, in verse 19 says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Take comfort in God instead of dealing with those anxieties alone. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, we can use God's Word. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He was talking about the death and the resurrection and the end of time, and he explained that to them, and then he said, comfort one another with these words. They were worried about it, and he said, I've written you some words to be able to comfort each other. Then we need to trust in God. Keep focused on God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 teaches us that. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, Peter, when he got out of that boat to walk on the water to Jesus, he did fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, didn't he? But when he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the wind and waves all around him, that's when he started to sink. If we will keep focused on God, we won't even see all these other storms going on around us. They won't even affect us. They won't even bother us. We need to trust in God. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. He will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit." We need to remember that God is with us. Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." God's with us. Of course, we need to believe in God. Sometimes we really, even though we claim, oh, we're Christians, but sometimes when it comes right down to it, we doubt God. Oh, we may not doubt He's existing up there, but we doubt that He's really involved in our lives. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He tells us, He's there for us. We need to claim the peace that Jesus brought. We need to keep that peace in our hearts. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, if we have a spiritual peace, the physical peace won't affect us. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were warned, bow down when the music plays, or you know, whoever doesn't bow down is going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. They didn't bow down. King said, "Maybe you misunderstood. I'll give you a second chance. Bow down." And they played the music. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told that king? They told him, you know, they knew he had the power to throw them in that fiery furnace. But they said, "Our God is able to save us." Do we believe we have a God who's able to save us? But you know what's the amazing thing about what they said? Here's the level of peace they had with God and the level of peace we need to strive for with God. Because after they said, "Our God is able to save us," you know what the next phrase they said was? "If He doesn't." Wait a minute, you just said He was able. Yeah, we know He's able. But you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes the righteous do die. Stephen died. Jesus died. Sometimes good people die. James was beheaded. God didn't stop it. Now, I know Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't know about that, but they did know that bad things had happened. They'd heard of Job. They knew what bad things happened to Job. And so they said, "Even if He doesn't, we will never bow down." That's the peace they had with God. That even if it brought physical pain, suffering, and even death in their lives, they were still at peace with God. And they were thrown in that fire. There's no indication that they went kicking and screaming and fighting. Have you ever seen, you know, these people that are, you know, they're kicking and screaming and fighting? I don't picture Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going like that. I don't picture them fighting it. They were ready. And then they got up in there and stood up and walked around, and there was a fourth that walked around this. And the king said, "Didn't we throw three in there? I see four down there. What's going on?" Because God did protect them. But He did not have to. He had the ability. And they trusted Him that whether He saved them or whether He didn't save them physically, they knew they were right with Him spiritually. The reason so many of us are concerned about the physical things is because we don't have the spiritual things right. If we get the spiritual right, the physical will take care of itself. We won't have to worry about it. ask for God's help in recognizing your anxieties. Recognize the anxiety you have in life. Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." Ask for God to help you recognize them. He knows. You need to recognize those things in your own life. And then turn your worry over to God. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Now, understand, when the psalmist said that, that doesn't mean God will never let anything bad happen to you physically. But what did Jesus say? "My Father is stronger than all, and no one can take Him out of my Father's hand." Can we die physically? Sure. But can anybody else move us from God's hand? Nobody but us can move us. We can get up and walk out of His hand and He'll let us go. But nobody else, no power on heaven or earth or in hell can drag us out of God's hand. His grip is that strong. He's that powerful. We need to accept that and understand that. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 again, He cares for you. Cast your cares upon Him. We need to keep focused on the present. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118 and verse 24 says. I know some say, well, that's talking about the day that's coming when Jesus was going to come. It was a prophecy of salvation. I understand that, but today, this day, we need to live it for God. 1 Peter 3, 12 through 17, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers." We need to understand that spiritual things can't be taken away from us. One man who had gone broke, somebody had the nerve to say, reason you're having all these financial problems is because you don't have enough faith in God. His response to her was, "Lady, they've taken my house, they took my car, they've taken my bank account, they've taken everything. I had to declare bankruptcy. The only thing I got left is my faith in God." But they can't take that away. We can give it up, but nobody can take it away from us. Luke 10:38-42, "Oh, Martha and Mary." Martha was worried about all those physical things. Mary, though, she was worried about the spiritual things. And you know, sometimes we use that word worry. She wasn't worried, but she was considerate of and thinking about the spiritual things. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, "She has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Every meal you eat, it's gone in just a few hours. Your body's used up the nutrients, and you got to have another meal. Everything you drink is gone in just a couple hours. It passes right through your system. Your body gets what's useful out of it, and it goes on, and you need another drink. Every item of clothing you wear, I know some of us have some that we've been wearing a long time, but eventually it wears out. Eventually it gets thrown out. Or it should get thrown out. Sometimes it turns into dust rags. You know, I mean, all sorts of things happen to that clothing, but it doesn't last. And we need something else to wear. But the spiritual things, those things that are unseen, are eternal. But everything that we see is passing away. We need to understand that God cares. We need to truly, deep down, not only believe that He does care, but that He will do what we need Him to do in our lives. And trust Him when that happens. I saw something recently that said, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. So, when we think it's all about us, it's not all about us. It's all about Him working through us and in our lives to mold us, to grow us, to strengthen us. Psalm 91 talks about the Lord. "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Do you realize what one of Satan's final temptations of Jesus Christ was? And I'm not talking about the movie that came out several years ago. What his real... As Jesus was hanging on the cross, those Jewish religious leaders and others came by and mocked Him and said, "If you're really the Christ, come down from there." You know what they were really saying to Jesus? God doesn't care about you. This Father that you've been teaching us about, He doesn't care because He's not saving you from that death on the cross. And you know, Jesus felt that way when He was hanging on that cross. Do you remember what He said? My God, why have you forsaken me?" He felt like He was all alone. But despite that, He knew. He knew what had to be done, and He did it anyway. Satan said, "Save yourself some suffering. Come down from there." And he used those wicked men to do that, to tempt Jesus in that way. And you know Jesus had the power. Jesus told His disciples He had the power. He said, "Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels to come?" And they'd come. But He didn't. Because He knew it wasn't worth it. He knew that God cared. Not just about Him, but about all of us. And that's why God the Father allowed God the Son to die on that cross for us. Because He cares. Now you think about a God who cares enough about you that He let His own Son die for you. Die in your place. And then we worry about some of the most insignificant, piddly little things in life. How do you suppose that makes God feel? Here, I tried to show them how much I cared, how much I loved them by sending my son for them, and they don't even trust me enough to take care of what they're going to wear tomorrow. If you're not a Christian, you're not one of God's children, I promise you, having Satan for a father is having a father who doesn't care a bit about you. You don't want him for a father. Leave his home. Come be adopted by God into His family by believing in Jesus Christ, by being willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. Being willing to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. Start a new life. Free of the cares and concerns of this world. If you're a Christian, but perhaps you've been living like you didn't have a Heavenly Father that cared for you. Determine today that you're going to change the way you've been living. Put your trust in Him. Believe that He does care for you. And repent of all that fretting and worrying that you've been doing in contradiction to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Don't worry about it." When we worry, we're being disobedient. Determine we're going to change that. But don't worry about it. Just determine to change it. Change the things you can change. If you need to respond to His invitation for any reason this morning, please come as we stand and sing.